We'll take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We're going to read the first four verses, and then we'll pray. John chapter 11, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your goodness to us. I pray as we look into the life of Lazarus and how you worked here in this situation, that we would get some help, some comfort, some encouragement, and Lord, it would renew our faith, because sometimes problems and trials and difficulties get us distracted, they get us discouraged, and I pray that we would have, again, renewed faith this evening. I pray that you'd work in a special way in our church, Lord. This is your church. You purchased this church with your blood. You love the church. You gave yourself for it. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you love us. You're not just leaving us here to fend for ourselves, and that you have a plan, and you're at work behind the scenes. May we be reminded of that once again. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The title of my message this evening is Purposeful Problems. Purposeful Problems. I could ask the question here, does anyone have problems? That would be kind of an understatement, wouldn't it? The truth is that we all have problems. Now, some of our problems are self-inflicted. We reap what we've sown, and sometimes we're experiencing divine chastening because of something we've done that was against his will. He's trying to correct us and get us back into the straight and narrow way. But we're also living in a fallen world, and sometimes our problems come at the hands of other fallen creatures. And God may even allow us to experience some problems at the hands of others so that he can bring glory to himself. Now, again, we all have problems. There are all sorts of different problems. We have personal problems. We all face annoyances, disappointments, distractions, all that. I mean, some people have neighbors' dogs that get into their yard sometimes. You know, that's an annoyance. Other people have neighbors themselves, right? A problem. I've got a toothache, and I've had a toothache for a while. That's a personal problem, and they're going to have to yank that thing. I've been putting it off. So why don't you just get a root canal and a crown? I already did that, and it went south, so now I have to gone. And now talking implants and money and all this, and pain. That's the biggest problem right there, the pain. We all have problems. We have health problems. Paul faced a debilitating thorn in the flesh, but God turned around and used it for his honor and glory. Did he like it? No, he asked God three times to take it away. And he may allow us to go through some physical ailments and sufferings. We don't like it, but we have to remember he has a problem for it. How many people have ended up in the hospital or at a doctor's waiting room and ended up with a divine appointment with opportunities to witness to people for the Lord because they had a physical ailment? We have family problems. Sometimes there's some bumps in the road in between husband and wife, and the same can happen with children. And homes sometimes fall to very heartbreaking disappointments. Churches have problems. The devil likes to attack churches that are doing something for the Lord, right? The devil doesn't want God's work to continue. And you say, well, does that ever happen? Sure, it happens. It happens, and it's happened since the New Testament time, against even across churches across America in our day and age. And it reminds us of 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 14. I wrote it down because I didn't trust my memory, although I have passed this section. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, get this, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. We will have persecutions. We will have troubles. But God promises, as he did for Paul, to deliver us. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better in this world. They're going to be deceiving and being deceived. What's the solution? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Just continue doing what's right. Amen? We have work problems. People go to work, and because you're a Christian, sometimes people will mock you. They'll make fun of you. They'll tease you. They'll try to get you to laugh at dirty jokes. They'll malign you. They'll make you look bad in front of the boss so that they can look better. All sorts of things. We have financial problems, bills that are unexpected that come up, and you're wondering, how can I pay these things? We have national problems. Politicians are brilliant at creating calamities, creating problems that they can't fix, and then their fix makes the problem worse. We have problems, and our problems are not all going to go away. Some of our problems are big. Some of them are small. Lazarus had a big one. Now, when the Lord allows his children to have problems, just remember this, he always has a reason. And whatever your problem that you're going through, or could be problems, God has a reason, and you've got to hold on and hang on to him. And I believe that God put this account of real people with real problems in the Bible for us because he wants us to learn from this account and get some helpful lessons. So I've got, not to disappoint anybody, I do have a few points this evening. First of all, we're going to see the problem. We'll see the problem. Find this in verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. He was sick. He wasn't just sick. He was very sick. As we know, he was so sick that he died. Look in verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, talking to the disciples, he said, Lazarus is dead. So Jesus knew he was going to die, and he did. And that's a pretty big problem. Actually, if you're saved, that's probably an improvement, right? Because you get to go to heaven, and you don't have any more problems. But Lazarus and Martha and Lazarus, they were good folks, as we would term it, right? Look there in verse 2 again with me. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This was a family that loved the Lord. And we can ask, why would God allow something like this to happen to a good family? Because we do see tragedies and troubles happen to good families, good individuals, people who do love the Lord. And so why does that happen? I've got a couple reasons for this. A problem like that can happen. First of all, bad things happen to good people. Just mark that down. Bad things happen to good people. Now, we expect bad things to happen to bad people, but bad things also happen to good people. And what happens is sometimes we're really earnestly serving the Lord. Maybe we're even praying, Lord, help me to draw closer to you. Help me to have revival in my life, or whatever it is. And we're serving the Lord, we're doing our best, we're not perfect, none of us are perfect. But we're tithing, and you end up saying, Lord, I'm tithing, I go soul winning, I have a ministry, I'm doing the best I can. Why did you let this happen to me? That happens. I mean, 19 years ago in May, we were on our way to soul winning in on the mission field. We're on the mission field. We're going soul winning, and we had a really bad car accident. You've heard about it. And I ended up with a head injury. My wife broke her neck. And my daughter said, Dad's a bad driver. Obviously, right? But here we are, just trying to serve God, and troubles hit. And some of you are serving the Lord wholeheartedly, dedicated. Lord, why has this problem, why has this hardship, why is this tragedy, why has this disappointment come into my life? I've been doing the best I can. Because serving God doesn't exempt you from trouble. Read the life of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he goes through a whole list of problems that he had, and he had them for one reason, because he was serving God. That happens to us. So why would God allow something like this to happen to them? Because bad things happen to good people. Also, because God's love doesn't exclude you and I from troubles. Having problems doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Now, sometimes we look around, we see other people who have it better off than we do. They don't seem to have the troubles and the hardships and the heartaches like we have. And you might not verbalize it, but you might wonder, it seems like God loves them more than he loves me. But the truth is that Jesus loved Lazarus, and he still allowed something bad to happen to him. So look with me there in verse number 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, talking to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus loved Lazarus. Look in verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and who? Lazarus. Look at verse number 36 with me. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Jesus loved Lazarus, and he still let him get sick, and he let him get so sick that he died. The point of this is simple. Don't doubt the love of God just because you have problems. And don't doubt his love because you have big problems. He still loves you. For God so loved the world. Amen? He loves his children. And how easily we just doubt that or forget that. But we need to be reminded, God loves us. And if you can hang on to that one thought, that'll get you through a lot of hard times. Yes, sir. That no matter what, God loves me. No matter what, he loves me. And nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, Paul said in Romans chapter number 8. So first of all, we see the problem. Secondly, we see the prayer. We find it there in verse number 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, what's the first thing you do when a problem arises? Sometimes we get filled with anxiety. Sometimes we're overcome and overwhelmed with fear. How's this going to work out? Oh, no. And we think the worst, and we dream up all these scenarios of how it's just going to end in a total train wreck. Some people turn to the internet. How do I fix this one? You know. But Lazarus's sisters did the best thing that anybody could do. They turned to Jesus for help. And that's what we've got to do. The Bible says in Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In times like these troubles, we have to claim verses like this. Get into the book and say, Lord, I need help. I need something. And just keep reading until he gives you something. And God will bless. And the Psalms are a wonderful, wonderful place to find those encouraging promises. Let me ask you, so think about the problem that you have right now. Have you wholeheartedly sought the Lord? maybe even in desperation, and committed this big thing. Now, it could be a young person. It could be a teenager. It could be us big people, or at least us adults, right? All of us have problems. Have you turned that over to the Lord? Have you committed it to Him and put it in His hands and said, Lord, I can't fix this. You know, God lets us get in situations like that. Our hands are completely tied. There's absolutely nothing we can humanly do to fix this. And it's a weight that just hangs on us for a while. And sometimes we just want that thing gone. And God doesn't lift it. And it's a burden that He lets us carry. And it's a problem, it's trouble, and it's weighty, it's hard. And by the way, let me just say this. When you know a brother or sister are going through a difficult time like that, lift them up in prayer. Encourage them. Send them a note. Do something to just be an encouragement. But have you taken and given that problem wholeheartedly to God? Just said, Lord, I can't fix this. Will you take it? We see the problem. We see the prayer. Mary and Martha did the right thing. They took it to the Lord. And then we see the third thing we see is the purpose. We find it in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that he was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now you say, he didn't know because Lazarus died. He knew Lazarus was dead. He knew he was going to die. He even told them before they got there that he was dead. So it's not that Jesus didn't know that Lazarus was going to die, but he was saying, this sickness is not unto death. He said, the end result, that's not the end result of this. He said, the end result, continue the verses, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So here we find the purpose of this problem. Everything that Jesus did, everything that the Lord does is for the glory of God. And this is a hard one to swallow, but we should be content if our troubles bring glory to God. Do you like problems? I tell you, I don't. I don't like problems. I don't like little ones. I don't like big ones, but they are designed to bring glory to the Lord. And life is supposed to be about Him, not about us. But what happens is life gets about me and life becomes about you. And so now we're all focused on our problems, our individual problems, and we're not too happy because the circumstances aren't going so well. You may not know His purpose for your problem right now, but you can rest assured of one thing, that He has a purpose. And what we must do is trust Him. God, You are God. You've allowed this. You know what's going on. You know how to fix it. You've got a purpose in this. I don't know what it is except for the fact You want to bring glory to Yourself. And what glorifies God? Faith. Anytime we put faith in Him for whatever, it brings glory to Him. So I want you to notice a couple of places here where this problem was used to help others. Look with me, first of all, in verse number 15. So the purpose, again, is faith, that people would believe. Verse 15, and Jesus is speaking, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he wanted this problem to cause the disciples to believe. Now, were they saved? Yes, they were saved. But he wanted them to trust him more and have more faith. It wasn't only for the disciples. Look there in verse 26 and 27. Jesus wanted Martha to believe. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, let's see. This trial helped Lazarus' family because it created more faith in Martha. And if our problem, now think with me, if our problems help our loved ones, isn't it worth it? I remember when my oldest daughter, Sarah, graduated from high school, she got to give her testimony. And as she was preparing her testimony, much of it was about the fact that we lived in Africa, had to come off the mission field because of my sickness, and she could see how God used that, and the theme of her testimony was Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what thrilled my heart wasn't that my daughter was giving the testimony. What thrilled my heart was that she had learned through my problem, she saw that God was working. And she saw that it not only was working on my behalf, but she saw that it was working in her life, and it meant a lot to her. And if my daughter's serving God because the Lord allowed me to have some problems, praise the Lord. We have to be able to say, if God wants problems to glorify him and help our loved ones, then so be it. There have been people who've prayed and prayed and prayed, Lord, whatever it takes, bring my loved one to you. And sometimes that prayer, the result is someone loses their life. That person praying loses their life. And as a result, we've heard these stories before, the person that they were praying for comes to the Lord. It's an awfully high price to pay, but it brings glory to the Lord, and you know that person would say, Lord, it was worth it. I think Lazarus was thinking this was worth it too. So Jesus wanted faith. The purpose is for people to have faith. He wanted the disciples to believe. He wanted Martha to believe. But look at also, he allows problems to come into our life because he wants unsaved people to believe also. Look in verse number 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. It says many of the Jews believed on him. And even if one person gets saved because of our troubles, that's worth it. But when many people get saved, wow, praise the Lord. So we don't know what God's doing when he allows problems to come into our life. But we do know one thing, that he has a purpose and he wants people to have faith. He wants God's people's faith to be built and he wants more unsaved people to be saved. Will you believe and trust him when trouble comes? It's hard, but we need to do that. We're going to come back here to John chapter 11, but if you would quickly with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Familiar verses, but I think sometimes it's good just for us to lay eyes on them because I want to point out a particular phrase here that's been very meaningful to me over the years. And in Hebrews chapter number 4, verses 14 through 16, says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Therefore, let us come to the Lord. Why? Because he's a faithful high priest in heaven interceding for us. So let us therefore come boldly, that means with confidence, unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I like that. We can find grace to help in time of need. How many times have you gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm in time of need? You said you'd give grace in such a time. I need that grace right now because that'll help me get through. Oh, if you could take these promises that God gives to us and bring them back to him and rehearse them. We take all of our problems to the very throne of grace, and we'll find that grace, and that will help us. And we just have to come and trust him. So we see the problem, we see the prayer, we see the purpose. Now, you and I, in hindsight, because we just read the story, can see the purpose. Mary and Martha didn't have that luxury at that time. They didn't know what he was doing. So we get back to reality here in point number four is the plan. Okay, so he's got a purpose. He's going to put this purpose together. Here's his plan. We find it in verses 6 and 7. When he, Jesus, so he hears that Lazarus is sick. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then, after that, he saith to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. So when he heard the news, he dropped everything and went right away. Correct? No. He waited 2 days. You know what that tells me? God doesn't work on our timetable. I don't know about you, but when I have problems, I want out of them right now. And I want God to react very quickly and deliver me as I think he should, when I think he should. But he's got a higher purpose, and he has got a better plan. And we think things have to happen right away. We want them to happen when we want them to happen. But in this case, and sometimes in our own lives, sometimes God allows our problems to get worse. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's just what happens. Sometimes he lets the problem get worse. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, didn't we just see that he has a purpose? He does. You say, yeah, of course. Well, you know, that, and he has a plan to get that accomplished. His plan for Lazarus was to wait 2 days to make sure he was good and dead by the time he got there. And I don't even know how quickly he traveled once he did start moving. Now, this was a real test for their faith. Now, what was going to be a bigger miracle? Healing a sick man or raising a dead man? Obviously, raising someone from the dead would be a bigger miracle. And so if he makes us wait, we have to understand that he has a good reason for it. And in this case, he had a good reason. He wanted to perform a bigger miracle. He wanted a greater deliverance. Now, that's easy, again, for us to look at this from hindsight and say, yeah, that's good. But it's easy for us to doubt him when things are going tough. But we shouldn't doubt him, because we know he's God, we know he's got a purpose, and we know he's got a plan, and he's working his plan. Again, Martha and Mary did not know the purpose. They didn't know his plan. They didn't know he was waiting. They didn't know Jesus was letting things get worse because he wanted to perform a bigger miracle. Had they known that, they would have been able to just cruise right on through without any problems. But they didn't just cruise on right on through. So we see the next point is this. We see their perplexity. They were perplexed. Jesus finally shows up in verse 21. Look with me. It says back here in John 11. He then said, Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, I don't know what that sounds like to you, but I'll tell you what it sounds like to me. If you had come, he'd still be alive, and it's your fault he's dead, because you didn't come. Now look, it wasn't just Martha. Look with me in verse number 32. Mary had the same problem. When Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst not been here, my brother had not died. You almost wonder if this is something that they had been talking about for a while. They came up with almost the same wording. Like, this is a common thought. They're sharing and confiding each other about how, man, where's Jesus? He's not come yet. Boy, he needs to hurry up. Oh, he hasn't come. And then as the days prolong, it's like, whoa. Now, if he had come, he wouldn't have died. Almost like, it just seems to me like, not that they were planning to let him have it, but they were gonna share their heart. And by the way, they loved their brother. They were brokenhearted. And sometimes when people have a broken heart, things don't always come out the right way. And I think sometimes children think parents are just picking on them. And sometimes as parents just have a broken heart, they're just trying to help their kids. They were perplexed. They started, it seems like, they were blaming Jesus and having a pity party. They did the right thing at first. When Lazarus got sick, where did they go? They went straight to the Lord. They sent to him and asked for help. And initially, sometimes we'll have faith and put our faith in the Lord. We'll pray and we'll seek him and we'll be looking in his word for promises. And then just like Martha and Mary, sometimes our faith falters too. But be careful that you don't blame the only one that can help you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I remember getting smacked in the face with a pretty big problem. And it was after I had written that book, Brighter Days Ahead. And one of those chapters, one of the early chapters, is it's not God's fault. And I got smacked with this big problem. And I'm talking to the Lord about my big problem. And I'm like, Lord, this. And I wasn't saying it was his fault, but I was kind of saying, why did you let this happen to me, you know? And then God said, but what about that chapter that you wrote? It's not God's fault. I mean, I didn't even have to go back and read the chapter. I knew what it said. And that was enough for me to say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. It's not your fault. You know all about it. It's a higher purpose than I understand. It's not easy. Help me to trust you. It's not easy. They were perplexed. Don't blame the only one that can help you. Next, we see the persuasion. Look with me back there in verse 22. So in verse 21, Martha's saying, Lord, if you'd been here. But look what happens in verse 22. She said, but, despite the fact that you weren't here, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Yes, she did question Jesus for not coming sooner, but thankfully, she quickly realized that he could change anything. She acknowledged that he could still work, even though it seemed impossible. And with God, all things are possible. It's never too late for him to work. He can intervene even when we think it's too late for him to step in. And we have to not just start out in faith and trusting him with our prayer, but there's going to be times when things aren't going the way we wanted to, even though we did react the right way and we begin to doubt. We need to hang on and say, like her, but I know, even now, you can still do something. It seems impossible, but even now, you can still help me through this because you're God. And praise the Lord for Martha's faith. So when things get doubtful, don't lose hope. Next, we see the power. Look with me there in verse number 39. Jesus said, he shows up to the grave. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Remember one of those reasons why he lets things happen, is for people would believe? And verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. This was the power of God. Life was given to a dead man. It was a bigger miracle than just healing somebody. And he took an impossible situation and he completely turned it around. Now, the Lord does not always reverse all of our problems, but he wants to show himself powerful, and he can show himself powerful in the midst of them. He might not take all of our troubles away, but he can take them and turn them into things that'll be good. And especially anytime our faith is increased, if someone gets saved, it is a good thing. So he can change our situation, and we have to allow him to display his power in our life. Do you want him to show his power in your problem? Ask him. Ask him. Believe him. Say, Lord, this is a big one. I can't fix this. It's beyond me. But you gave life to the dead. Maybe you're feeling just dead spiritually. God can revive that heart and help you. So let God work and let him have his perfect will. And don't quit and don't, think that it's all going to end in a disaster. The last point we see is the praise. We find it in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. There they made, we were starting verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. So Lazarus was spending time with Jesus. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Their joy, their mourning turned to joy, and that came out in praise and thanksgiving and sacrifice to the Lord. Listen, when God works in your midst and he's doing a great thing, praise him. Thank him. It ought to make us want to do more for him than ever before. And yes, Martha and Mary were discouraged in the middle of their trial, just like we get sometimes. But by the end, they were pretty happy. They were pretty happy. And they were willing to praise and sacrifice and give thanks to the Lord. Be sure you thank him. He wants to work in our midst. Now, many of us are familiar with George Mueller, ran orphanages, fed thousands of people. At this time, in the story that I'll share with you, you've probably heard something like this in the past. At this time, he had an orphanage of 300 children, and the workers told him that there was no food for the children. And he told them to gather the kids around the table and for mealtime. And he prayed, and there was no food. But soon, a baker came in saying, hey, I baked too much bread. Can you use some? Eh, no. Yeah, of course we could use some. A milk truck broke down, a delivery truck. That's how you didn't, go to the grocery store and get them. But they had those big cans of milk. And even in Zambia, in Africa, we'd see people riding on their bikes with these huge, huge cans of milk on the back, keeping things somewhat cool. Anyway, and so a driver came in and said, hey, milk truck broke down, the milk's not going to keep, and there are 6 very large cans of milk. And he said, can you use it? And yes, and it was just enough to make sure all of the children had enough bread and milk for the evening meal. And how did that happen? Because a man just said, okay, we got to feed them. Just gather them together and let's pray. And you say, well, that's great, Pastor Olson. That's good for George Mueller in the 1800s. Well, what about us? I don't know about you, but I've seen God work. I was a child in the 1970s. The economy was rough. My dad was a very hard worker, and he was out of a job, and we had no food. And I do remember as a little boy, Dad gathering us together, and he prayed and thanked God for the food that we didn't have. And it was not long after that we heard a knock on the door, and a family dropped off a fruit basket, and that was our supper. You say, that's all you had? Oh, that was great. Why? You know why it was great? Because God gave it to us. Because God intervened. And I, as a little boy, saw my dad, I'm sure it must have hurt him to not be able to provide for his family like he wanted to. But he did, because he got a hold of the one who is the great provider. And he prayed. And I saw that. And I remember that to this day. Our family had a problem. God had a plan. Dad prayed. God showed his power. And we praised him. You've probably done similar things like that. Maybe not exactly like that in your family, where God has done something. He allowed trouble to come in. And he's willing to use it for his honor and glory. He wants our trials to draw us closer to him. No doubt there's some with some pretty heavy hearts tonight. But bad things happen to good people. And God still loves us. His purpose is that he'd be glorified. He's got a plan in it. It might not be what we were expecting, but we need to trust him and let him show himself mighty on our behalf. Let's stand to our feet with our